Okay, this next guy, I'm gonna just want to say this about him. What a nice kid he is, man. I got to know him after he'd already been in a program, because my program was like, woo, you know what I mean? But I was still sober. But once I got to know this guy, he's the warmest dude, man. And he'll just come up to anybody and give him a hug. And he's such a cool dude. Nate, please come up and share with us.
Nate, I'm all it.
Hey.
Set a timer for myself. Thank you, Marcus, for allowing me to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. It's an honor and a privilege, you know, to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to welcome everyone who's new. Welcome home. And if that made you throw up a little bit inside, welcome to the club. I used to hate hearing that when I came in here. Welcome home. You know, I say it's an honor to be up here. You know, just a little bit about my day today. You know, I was able to wake up with a sober breath. I was able to thank my God, the God that I have found by working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, for another day. You know, I was able to wake up with my 7-month-old son on my chest. And I had my day all planned out. You know, I'm going to do some laundry, do some yard work. And my son and I ran an errand. And I get home, and Brother Glenn pulls up. It's out of nowhere. And my wife had a bridal shower today. And she's big on surprises, you know. And I'm the exact opposite. I'm the OCD, controlling, just perfectionist. And you know, she surprised me by bringing over Brother Glenn, and we spent the day, the morning, up in Avila, me, Glenn, and my son Maverick, while my wife was at the bridal shower, you know. And those are just the gifts of recovery today. You know, we were able to, you know, sit down for brunch, you know, and talk about what God's doing in our lives, right? You know, my sobriety date is July 26th of 2016. And I can tell you, you know, on July 20th of 2016, when I ended up in another detox, you know, my life was not like it is today. You know, I was sunken up 130 pounds. Track marks all over my arms, you know, dying from this disease. And Alcoholics Anonymous brought in a panel, like I had sit in many times before. And that member talked about the contempt prior to investigation, you know. And he looked at me in that detox panel room, and he looked me right in the eyes and said, "Have you ever gave Alcoholics Anonymous a chance?" You know, and honestly, for the first time in my life, I could say no, because I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, read the steps on the wall, you know, 1, I'll do, 2, that doesn't apply to me, 3, there's God, and then I ain't doing that. I'll go to 8, 9, I'll start making those amends, I'll start saying I'm sorry, right? But not much growth occurred. Right? So for all you that are new, you know, grab a hold of a sponsor. Grab a hold of somebody, you know, who has the working knowledge and working the 12 steps. I've never heard one man or woman say, after completing all 12 steps, why'd I do that? That was a waste of time. I've never heard that, right? Because that's for me where the meat and potatoes are in recovery. I can go to as many meetings as I want. You know, and I can get fed, and I get that juice, right? But it's my experience that I stay the same guy. I'm still dishonest. I'm still self-seeking. You know, and for a guy like me, and I'll get into my story, but you know, it was like a revolving door for me. You know, it was always the same song, same dance. I came in here with my own plans, my own ideas. I'll do that, but not that. You know, and I kept getting loaded. Happy birthday, Glenn.
Thank you.
You know, I thank God for men like you. You know, I came in here 6.5 years ago, and I came to the 1600 Club every morning. Like I said, dying from this disease. I didn't have much to share about. I didn't have much to say to anybody. But I started watching the men that came before me. You know, and Glenn was a staple. He was always in that seat, you know, suiting up and showing up, being of service, you know. Just like you said, you've been an example for your sons. You've been an example for me. You know, I thank God for men like you. You know, my journey, my self-sabotaging journey, as I like to call it, you know, starts in, I grew up in Idaho. And we grew up in a little town, very religious community. And my dad was atheist, so that didn't go along so well. Right? Kind of on the outside looking in kind of deal. Not feeling a part of, oh yeah, that was me. And, you know, I remember from an early age, that fear of rejection was real. You know, not being invited to certain functions, thinking something was wrong with me. Right. I remember seeing some members from the church walk up to our house, and my dad, who worked nights, you know, it'd be in the morning. They would wake him up, which was the first no-no. And then he'd go to the door and scare him off his underwear. Right. And, you know, so that was kind of like my first experience of like, you know, in here we talk a lot about God and that really shut me off too. So if that shuts you off, welcome to the club again. Right. And, you know, so that was kind of my first experience, you know, you know, being bullied as a kid. Oh yeah. You know, that happened a lot. You know, it's my belief that I was born with alcoholism, that at an early age I was struggling from untreated alcoholism, and I didn't have a solution. You know, after living in Idaho for a short amount of time, my, you know, like my hero and my example was my grandpa. And we moved from Idaho to Nebraska, a little small town in Nebraska, and about a year after we moved, my grandfather died. You know, so that loss, you know, that loss, that example of that man who was always there for me, you know, he was gone, you know, and I didn't know how to grieve. My family didn't talk about feelings. Didn't talk about feelings. So when I found that drink, you know, we talk about solutions in here, you know. At every meeting I go to, there's a problem, and then we kind of share the solution. You know, when I took that first drink, I found my solution. It worked. You know, and it wasn't like some spiritual experience and not like that warm, fuzzy feeling or anything like that, but I felt okay with me for the first time in my life. And in my first drink, you know, it was me and some buddies. We stole some booze out of a garage, did our thing, and it was me and two other guys. And me and one of the guys blacked out immediately. Right? We loved it. You know, and the other guy threw up, acted like he was drinking, but he wasn't, you know, kind of deal. You know, and you know, fast forward to now, that guy's a cop, right? And the other one, me and this other guy are in recovery, you know? So it was like my first experience right there, like I'm bodily and mentally different, you know? Once I take that first drink, I can't stop. And, you know, ended up getting, you know, into trouble in high school, you know? But it was fun, you know? I mean, back in Nebraska on those dirt roads, we'd go booze cruising after school and throwing the fishing line. And you know, that's when it was fun. You know, I hear and hear a lot, you know, I wouldn't trade my worst day of sobriety for my best day of getting loaded. And that's not my story. Because I had a lot of fun. And if I wouldn't have stopped working, I wouldn't be here. I'll tell you that right now. You know, so just kind of going through the motions. You know, being able to fill a part of when I got loaded. And then, you know, I was big into sports growing up. high school football, you know, Friday Night Lights out there in Nebraska is like the whole deal where everybody shuts down and they all go to the game. And I was kind of like the big man on campus kind of deal. I thought I arrived, right? And I end up getting hurt, going to the doctor, get pills, right? And, you know, and that's my story. This is Alcoholics Anonymous, but that's my story. You know, it's opiates. And basically, I'm a garbage can variety. Whatever you got that'll take me out of here, I'll take it to the extreme. And, you know, so get pills. Then I run out. I don't have my solution, right? So my first dealer was medicine cabinets. You know, me and my buddies would, you know, and I remember sharing this story, I'll just preface it with this. I remember sharing this story at the boys camp down in Santa Barbara, which was not the time and place to do that. Because these guys were 16, 17 years old. And I feel like I just gave them, like, some ammo, right? You know, I saw all the guys being like, oh, that's pretty good. And I would have done the same thing at that age. But what we would do is we put on our polos, you know, and our nice, you know, pants or whatever after school. And we'd be driving down the road, and we'd park, and we'd put up the hood of the truck, right? We act like we would break down. And then we'd go knock on people's doors. Hey, I just broke down. Can I use your bathroom while I wait? Right? So I'd slide right in there, you know, and it was on after that, you know. So my disease just progressed. You know, I remember going to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I graduated high school. Moved from a small town in Nebraska to Lincoln, Nebraska, which is like the capital. I always give my wife crap and people from California because it's like it's the state of California, it's everywhere else, you know. It's like she doesn't know her geographics at all. So I moved out to Lincoln. I'm at the university, going to college, right? And it's the first time I'm on my own kind of deal, you know. And the night before my first day of class in college, you know, I go to my buddy's house. He has some shrooms. You know, I thought it'd be a great idea to start off my college career taking shrooms. You know, tripped my butt off all night long. You know, and I remember going to my first class the next day and thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to stick this out. Right, because all I could think about the whole time sitting in class was not why did I do that. It was where could I get more of it. Right, I wasn't absorbing anything. So that was basically the gist of my college experience right there. You know, I kind of fizzled out, and then I sobered up for a little bit. You know, I got sober pretty young. You know, at 25. Right? But like I said, I started coming into meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous at 18 years old, you know, because, you know, and I'll say this too. I was able to admit that I was powerless over drugs, but alcohol, nah, I'm fine, right? And I once heard a guy in a meeting say, you know, if you identify as an addict and not an alcoholic, it's like you're saying that you're a Labrador dog, but not like a dog, right? And I could get that, you know, because I remember going to meetings and they would talk about abstinence, and I'm like, ugh. I'd like throw up inside again, right? You know, but it was all necessary, right? I look at it now. So I'm in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they suggest you get a sponsor, start working the steps, and kind of like I shared about before, I kind of hop around, you know, deal. And I would maybe get a sponsor and they'd say, hey, you know, let's meet up once a week, you know, Monday nights, let's say. And Sunday or maybe Monday morning, I'm putting that pen to paper and just scribbling something just so I can give it to them, right? There was no honesty, there was no thoroughness, nothing, right? It was basically like homework, you know what I mean? Like, get this done, hand it in. You know, so I'm kind of doing this, abstinence, you know, I stopped using some stuff and I was still using the other. And then I ended up in my first treatment center, you know. It's in an O'Neill, Nebraska, population 2,000 people. It's out in the middle of a cornfield, right? And I'm up there. And and it was really my first taste of the old timers in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I like to share this story. You know, in O'Neill, Nebraska, small town, there's a treatment center there, big treatment center. They send a lot of people out there. And they have one meeting hall in town. And you walk in, you know, and it's all of us, you know, like 30 patients or whatever. You walk in, and then there's old timers up the front of the room. There's eight of them just sitting there. And these guys have been sober for 30, 40 years, you know. And, you know, I just think about it now, like, man, you know, they've heard a lot of the problem from us, you know. And, man, how were they reminded, you know, time and time again. You know, but they started talking about the steps. You know, they started talking about, you know, that I got a thinking problem, right? And if I continue to try to stay sober in my own thoughts, oh yeah, this time I'll remember, right? This time I'll remember the wreckage that caused my family. This time will be different. This time. Then I'm going to continue to get loaded, right? And, you know, they started talking about the solutions. And I got out of my first treatment center, you know, after 30 days. You know, by the end of my stay, I was like another, you know, counselor, I guess you could say. I was telling everybody what they were doing wrong, what they need to do when they get out, right? I had all this knowledge of alcoholism. You know, I thought I found the cure, right? In 2 days, I was loaded again. You know, in 2 days, all it took was 2 days. I'm sitting in my apartment, and I'm just thinking to myself, just one more day. Which, that's what it is in here, right? Just one more day. But I've learned in here, now, you know, I'm kind of all over the place, but I've learned in here, it's not just to hold on tight. It's, who can I help today? Right? All those thoughts in my head, maybe I should call somebody and share what's really going on here. You know, those meetings that I struggled to get to, maybe I should get a service commitment out of them that'll actually show up, right? You know, so that happened, and then I'm out running and gunning again. You know, I go back to my parents, and my dad was I had a very loving family. You know, that was no excuse to get loaded. You know, I had every opportunity in the world. My dad worked his butt off for our family. He stopped drinking when I was 2 on his own, right? His own willpower, right? And, you know, so that was kind of always my example, you know? Well, he stopped on his own, why can't I? You know, and I remember time and time again, I would relapse. Time and time again, I would go home and, you know, my parents or my parents would make a surprise visit. You know, I think we all know about those. Right? And they'd see me all sunken up, you know, dying from this disease once again. And, you know, I was talking with another member before the meeting. And, you know, many times, you just can't do it was his solution. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. What's wrong with you, right? So my family couldn't keep me sober. I have many examples of that. You know, my sister, you know, had her son at an early age. You know, me and her were only a year apart. She had him at 18. So I tried to do it for my nephew. You know, this loving little boy that loved his uncle, right, when I was there. Right, and what that led me to do was to pick him up from daycare on his 4th birthday, take him to the movies, do what I got to do inside the car while he's in his car seat, you know, and go in there. You know, that's where my disease takes me. Right, so here I am. At this time, I'm in Omaha, which is only an hour away, but it's a big city. You know, I got all these. You know, I'm running and gunning. You know, I have Enterprise, I've arrived, you know, kind of deal. I didn't have a job, right? But I had all this money and all that stuff. And You know, so my next best thinking was, you know, it's just this town. I just got to get out of here. You know, so I burned a bunch of guys, right? Got out of there, moved to Columbus, Nebraska, which is like 5,000 people. It's like, as long as I get rid of those opportunities, then I can't get loaded anymore, right? I'm fine, right? This time's going to be different, right? So here I am in Columbus, Nebraska, a little farm town, and I find the one guy that I needed to find in a matter of a couple of days, right? It's like wherever I go, there I am, and I can find my solution, right? That was the only solution I knew about. You know, and then I ended up in another treatment, same song, same dance kind of deal. Back in 2016, get out of another treatment center. By this time, my family, you know, they were like, okay, you know, you can't stay here. You know, they started looking after their own well-being, right? And, you know, I ended up on the streets in Omaha, and St. Patrick's Day. So the day before St. Patrick's Day in 2016, whatever date that was, I get a phone call from my brother who lives down in Orange County. You know, and I hadn't talked to him for a while because I hadn't talked to anybody in a while, right? Said, hey, I heard what's going on. You can move out here to California and stay with us if you stay sober, right? And once again, I thought I've arrived. I'm going to be in California. This time's going to be different. I'm going to be away from everybody. I'm going to have a new experience. I'm going to do things differently. Get on a flight on St. Patrick's Day. And the only reason I know it's St. Patrick's Day is because they offered free drinks to everybody on board, right? But I didn't take the drink, right? So I land down there in Orange County. I start going to meetings. You know, I always found my way back into meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know why, but I always found myself back in here, right? You know, because I tried every other avenue, you know, and this was the last house on the block for me. But I always found my way back here. So I started going to meetings down in Orange County. And down there, there's a meeting every hour on the hour, wherever you go, right? So I found that I could kind of hide down there, you know? I didn't have to go to the same meetings. There was like 100 guys at these men's stags. I could just kind of hide out, you know, deal. And once again, doing it my own way. You know, I have a sponsor. I'm not getting honest about my fears. I'm not getting honest about anything, right? I'm just putting on a show. Then I finally got work down there. I started working. One day, get home. I've earned it, right? And now I'm going back to that obsession, right? I'm going to have a couple beers. Just like that. I had zero defense. So I find my way to the liquor store. I get 240s because that's how we do it, right? Two beers or 240s, and then I'm running and gunning again. You know, I'm. You know, it's like every time I would come in here, I would hear you guys' stories and I would just listen for the differences. But it was always those yets, you know, because at the end all of those yets happen, right? I'm sitting there in Anaheim in a hotel room with a bunch of sick puppies like me, right? My first thought was, I can't live with my brother anymore, so I'm just gonna run, you know, and hide out for a while, and then I'm gonna go to his house in the middle of the night, pack all my stuff up, load it up in my car, and head east. I didn't know where I was going, so I had this all planned in my head. So to my brother, he's up, right, waiting for me. And he said, well, if you get in your car, I'm going to call the cops because you're loaded. Why don't you just sleep on it, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. So I wake up the next day. He said, hey, I have an opportunity for you. Detox up in Santa Barbara. And I didn't even know what Santa Barbara was. I'm like, Santa Barbara? Where's that at? But I thought of detox once again. I had gone through detox after detox after detox after, you know, that ain't gonna fix me. You know, I'm a lost cause, you know? So I get in the car, you know, of course on the way up here, we had to stop a couple times because I was sick. I was just sick. And end up in detox in Santa Barbara, and still plotting and planning about how to get out of there. You know, this ain't gonna do it. And then Alcoholics Anonymous, like I shared about before, brought in a panel. And for the first time in my life, in that meeting, I had that moment of clarity that this is as far as I can get on my own willpower. And one of these times, I'm not going to make it back. You know, I couldn't picture my life with or without getting loaded. And every other experience that I had in Alcoholics Anonymous, I would sober up and things got worse. Because I'm stuck with me. You know? I'm stuck with me. I got all these fears. I got all this stuff going on. I'm stuck with me. And I can make it a month or two on my own. And then that time would come that if this is what recovery is about, I'm out of here. I ain't doing this. Right? So I hear the message that night, and then an opportunity opened up for me to move up here to Santa Maria in a sober living house. You know, and once again, I had gone through sober living houses before. You know, this wasn't the first time for me. And I move into Pathways here in town, and because I stayed there, you have to go to meetings every day, which I thought was a little excessive myself. you have to get a sponsor, and you got to meet with your sponsor once a week, which was excessive again. But I was out of answers. You know, I was finally, you know, tired of Nate for the first time in my life. So I find a sponsor. Start working the steps. And I'll say this, the first 164 pages in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous was like freaking foreign to me. I was in such a fog that I couldn't absorb anything. But another man in here suggested I start reading the stories in the back of the book. And every story in the back of the book is one's own journey of finding a relationship with a higher power. And I could identify with the experiences. For the first time, I was looking for things that I could identify with instead of looking at the differences. Right? You know, because I would always read Bill's story, and I was like, oh, that's freaking long ago. That doesn't apply to me. Yeah, I can't even read this. Why is he saying the same thing over and over again, you know? You know, so I started doing that, but I started getting busy in Alcoholics Anonymous for the first time. You know, I started getting service commitments. Here in this room, I would come every morning at 8:30, because I didn't have a job at the time. Come at 8:30, would maybe hear the message that day, but what I would really make it a point to doing is being the first one in the back to wash coffee cups. And I just started doing that, you know, because my sponsor suggested I do so. I started taking direction, you know, and I thought it was stupid, yeah, I thought it was stupid. But just after doing it for a week, you know what I started to realize is I'm back there washing cups, other members are going to come up and talk to me, you know, And not only that, but I'm going to start getting phone numbers. And then I'd get these phone numbers, and my sponsors would say, you know what you should do with those phone numbers? You start calling guys. You know? And I'd say, well, what if I don't have anything to say? And he goes, well, ask them how they're doing. Let's start with that. You're just thinking about yourself. Ask them how they're doing. So I started doing that. The men that I surrounded myself with were guys that would ask me, they wouldn't really allow me to sit in the problem too long. You know, my home group is the Thursday Night Men's Stag in Orchid. And, you know, that's where I got sober. You know, and you know, there's a lot of guys in here that hit that meeting on Thursday nights. And that meeting is about service and solutions. And I started getting numbers of men in that group, and I would call them, you know, and I'd say, I want to get loaded, you know, and I said this many times to my family. I want to get loaded, and they say, what's wrong with you? Don't you see all the pain and the turmoil that you've caused yourself and others, and you still want to drink and get loaded? And then I would call men in here, and they say, of course you do. You're an alcoholic. That's what we do, right? We can't expect anything else, nothing else. But by sharing about it, they wouldn't just hang up. They'd say, do you want to meet for coffee? What meeting are you going to tonight? You know? Hey, I know this other guy that's kind of going through it. Why don't you give him a call? You know? How's that four step come along? Right? Are you getting on your knees in the morning and praying? And the whole God concept, like I shared about before, I was a non-believer. But by working an honest and thorough first step, I'm powerless over alcohol. That was kind of easy for me. Right? I had a lot of experiences. But then my life's unmanageable, whether I'm getting loaded or not. By working an honest and thorough first step, I saw that this is as far as I can get on my own will. This is it. You know, because me left to my own devices, I don't need to be getting loaded to be insane. Right? And I started to believe that maybe there might be something out there. And my first higher power conception of a power greater than myself was the room of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was at the end of meetings, getting around in the circle and praying out. It was reaching out to other members and them having, them sharing their experience with me, you know, just to get me through that night. Right? See, in my first year, I wanted to get loaded almost every day. That's just the way it was for me. It wasn't a white light experience. It was holding on. You know, the members kept me busy. I can tell you that. You know, the first commitment I had was I was voluntold by my Thursday night men's stag that I'm going to be the timer. Once again, I thought it was stupid, but I said okay, right? But the thing about that service commitment is I started showing up every Thursday night because I had that commitment, right? And then I had about, I just got 6 months, and I was going to a Monday night newcomers meeting at the Golden Gate. And it was me, Billy, and another member. And the other member was the secretary, and usually it was just us three that showed up. But it was great because it was a smaller meeting and they could and anybody could share for as long as they wanted to. And I had a lot to say, right? Something happened and the secretary position opened up, right? So I show up one Monday night and I honestly think it's just me and Billy. And Billy was like, hey, the secretary position opened up and I nominate Nate. There was no excuse, right? So at 6 months, I got the keys to the Golden Group. Then I started showing up on Monday nights. And there were a lot of Monday nights where it's just me, right? But I'll take my step work in there with me, right? And I'll take my big book in there with me, you know? And I got that pen out of paper. Sometimes I didn't want, most of the time I didn't want to. Some change and growth started to occur, right? Because me left to my own devices every other time in the span of 8 or 9 years. The longest amount of time I had was 85 days, you know, and I got 6 months. So I was like, there might be something to this, right? I get up to the fourth step, you know, that boogeyman fourth step, you know, like what's talked about in here sometimes. I'm scared, you know, but I start talking about it, right? And I had gotten to the fourth step before on prior attempts, but I wasn't ever completely honest. I was always holding on to those secrets, right? Those deep secrets. I got honest and transparent with another man, and we started walking through it, right? But in regards to resentments, you know, I can look at it all day long. I can look at what my part is, right? But I started praying, right? I started praying. And the first person I prayed for, I had 6 months. I got on to the Carpenters Union here. And I started working on a bridge up by Hearst Castle, right? So I'll drive up there, and there was no cell service up there. Superintendent and the foreman up there just that was my first experience in the trade. That was my first time swinging a hammer, right? I didn't know anything in my tool bag, nothing like how I did when I came in here. There's a bunch of tools laid at my feet. I didn't know how to use any of them, right? And I'm up there and I'm just getting belittled and I'm just going through it. And, you know, I remember many times on that bridge looking over the Pacific. The elephant seals are right there. I remember many times getting on that bridge on my knees, acting like I'm tying my shoe, right? And saying the serenity prayer. Because I just had to get through that moment, right? And that foreman that I was telling you about, just belittling me and stuff. And I'm at a meeting one night. You know, I'm whining and complaining and stuff. And another member says, well, have you prayed for him? And I said, why would I pray for him, right? And they said, it's not about him, it's about you. You know, he's taking up space in your head, he's affecting your peace. You need to be free of it or it might take you out, right? So I prayed for him. The next day I show up, he's off the job site. He got sent to another job. That was my first experience of praying for somebody. Whoa. Literally. Like, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, it's not always like that, right? I'm big on page 552. You know, we identify the resentment and then we go to the solution, which is pray for their health, their prosperity, and their happiness. Do it for 2 weeks. Even when you don't want to, in their only words, go ahead and do it anyways. You know, and do it for 2 weeks and you will come to mean it for them. You know, and that's something for me many times since. You know, and I'll speed it up. I have till 8, right? Okay. You know, so that was my first year. It was just basically doing the opposite of what I wanted to do. Trusting in something rather than myself. You know, I'm in the sober living house. I get to my year. And I remember an old timer came out to me when I got my year and he goes, congratulations, now nobody cares about you. Now you can start living this thing one day at a time. You know? So you know, I keep going through the steps, you know, and get up to 8, 9, start to make those amends. You know, like I said before, my family and I's relationship wasn't the greatest. I had around a year and my family came out here to California for a wedding. And I remember the first time I saw my mom and my sister, you know, in like a while. And the first thing they did when they saw me is tears of joy started running down their face. You know, because the last time they saw their boy and their brother, you know, their big brother, you know, I was sunken up dying, right? You know, and that's a light to me, you know, and that was Alcoholics Anonymous. That was a God working in my life, you know. And I was able to look my family in the eye and tell them what I did was wrong and what can I do to make it right. You know, and they said, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, just stay sober, you know. And, you know, all those years that my mom went worrying about where I was, you know, today, you know, every day after work, I always give my mom a call. You know, it might be 5, 10 minutes, right? But that's what I get to do today, you know. You know, so I work the steps. I start sponsoring guys. None of them are staying sober. Right? I'm just like, what is wrong with them? But you know what? I stay sober. You know, I had to be reminded about that. You know, that whole, I don't know what speaker it is, but they say, you know, a sponsee asked them what their success rate was, and they said 100%. I've stayed sober through every single one of them, you know, and I don't have the power, nor does anybody else have the power to keep me sober. That's up to my relationship with God and his relationship with God. You know, my job as a sponsor is to walk a man through the steps, and I've had many beautiful experiences of walking men through the steps. Men that came in here just like me, beaten up, head down, right? And it's usually those guys, you know, beaten up, and you're like, he has a chance. Really, you know, because I was always that guy that had my opinion, you know, and I never stayed sober. But those guys have kept me sober. I got married to my beautiful wife last year. We started dating when I had 6 months in recovery. You know how they say don't get in a relationship in the first year? I can see why now, and so can she, right? You know, because you know she has gone through a lot with me. You know, I've made all I made every mistake in here, but picked up. I can tell you that right now. Made every mistake in here, but picked up. But I've learned along the way that we are going to make mistakes. It's that spiritual progress we strive for. As long as I don't pick up and I start getting busy and getting that pen down to paper and start helping others, it's a growing opportunity. So my wife and I get married. My wedding party was my sponsor, Bob Felix. Glenn was in my wedding party. And it was all men in recovery, talk about God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know, as a result of working the steps, you know, my conception of a higher power has changed. You know, I have a loving God in my life today that I hear from all of you in here, right? Because if it was just you guys would let me down. And it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has everything to do with me. I have a loving, powerful God today that I try my best on a daily basis to stay close to, you know, and that's to utilize the principles and the tools of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then my wife, you know, when I, she got pregnant, you know, with our first child. And, at this time I'm like hitting 5-6 meetings a week, you know, and like, that's all I've done in here, right? Is just, you know, stay plugged in, you know, and just, you know, sometimes holding on. But it's like, the longer you stay in here, it changed from, you know, I have to do this to I get to go to my Thursday night men's stack, you know, because I get the fruits. You know, and I get the promises, and I get the gifts, and so I'm doing that. My wife's pregnant, and and then my son Maverick comes along, August 30th of 2022. You know, I was able to suit up and show up, and my wife had a 40-hour labor. You know, talk about fear, talk about the unknown, right? Talk about trying to control things that I didn't have any control over. And my wife and I, you know, we were praying, you know, and, this beautiful baby boy comes to the world, and, he's underneath the heat lamp crying, you know, right after he makes his arrival. He's you know, which is a good thing, and he's crying, and I go over there to the heat lamp, and I start talking to him, and instantly he stops crying, and he flips his head over at me, like he knows my voice. Yeah. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Just being there for my wife throughout the pregnancy, you know? I never thought I could love something so much as I do for my son. You know, talk about the understanding of unconditional love that my God has for me. You know, that has completely opened up a new chapter. You know, in the last 7 months, it's been tough at times because my meetings have gone down. They have, because I got to suit up and show up at home. You know, I've learned in here balance from my sponsor. You know, we get these gifts in recovery, and I got to suit up and show up for them as well. You know, but I've always, and I've learned this, you know, I've learned everything from other guys in here. Have a home group that you check in each week regularly, that if you're not there, someone's going to notice you're not there, right? Always have a commitment. I've always had a commitment. Attend a big book study. I attend a Tuesday night big book study at the Orchid Presbyterian Church in Orchid, you know, and always sponsor guys, you know. And I can tell you this, in the last 7 months, my sponsor, the men that I sponsor, man, They have kept me plugged in, because every time I sponsor a guy, I get back into the doctor's opinion. I get back into the first step, right? I get back into the solution, right? If you're not sponsoring anybody, you know, I highly suggest you get on that, because my recovery has took off 180 degrees, because it's getting me back into the solution, right? It's like last year I had COVID, right? Like many of us did. And there were probably two of my sponsees that didn't even know I had it for the week. I was down and out, but they were calling me, right? But they weren't asking how I was doing. Right? There it is. And that's exactly what I needed, right? Just to get out of here, right? You know, and I've been on the other side of that too. Like, there's no judgment. That's exactly, I mean, but yeah, you know, so it's a wild ride, and you know, I've kind of been all over the place, but you know, I would like to share this as well. You know, my brother who drove me up from Orange County to Santa Barbara detox here a couple years ago, I get a phone call from him, and he's struggling, and he has seen his hope to die dope fiend, drug addict, alcoholic brother, you know, get sober in here. Have I always been the greatest example? Absolutely not. But he knew who to call, right? And that was a couple years ago. Now he's 2 years sober. And he's on fire down there. Like, he's plugged into meetings. He's sponsoring guys. He's calling me saying, this guy's not doing what I'm telling him to do. And I say, welcome to the club. You're not alone. You know, it's a beautiful ride. My dad, who, you know, who I said was sober, you know, he had 27 years sober and he relapsed a couple years ago. He retired, had a lot of time on his hands. Like that example in the Bible book, Fred, right? He believed that lie that he can control and manage his own drinking, and he went down real fast, you know. As a result of being sober, you know, I was able to get on a plane, fly out to Idaho where my parents live, and be there for mom, you know, because I know I don't have the power to keep my dad sober, but I wanted to, right? I wanted to go out there and bear hug him and drag him to a meeting, right? But I had my big book on the flight, and I went to the chapter on working with others, and that tells you exactly what to do. It doesn't matter if it's your family member, doesn't matter if it's a... It told me exactly what to do, and that's to be an example, right? To not push down his throat. You know, so I get out there. You know, and I'm sharing this with other members here, you know, and what these guys are telling me to do is to call other guys and ask them how they're doing. You know, the recipe doesn't change. You know, so I get out there, you know, I said, Pops, this is the only way I know how to stay sober. You know, if you want to join me for meetings, because I'm going to be hitting meetings, because my disease does not take a vacation, I'll tell you that. You know, so I'm out there, and me and my dad are going to meetings. And that was a couple years ago, and now he has a year, you know. And I share this because it's nothing, it's not me, it's a loving God, you know, that uses us. But we never know when God's going to use us to be that example. You know, those inches and seconds that I was from picking up that drink, if I would have picked up that drink, that opportunity would have been wasted, right? And I've learned in here, you know, I have a daily reprieve. You know, I wake up every day with untreated alcoholism. Every day. And I got to re-up, you know? And just like I talked about before, you know, those bags, you know, when I was a carpenter starting out, I didn't know how to use those tools, right? I have tools in here, but I got to use them, you know? You know, I wake up every day and ask, thank God for another day sober, you know? I do my best to give back what was freely given to me. I do my best to stay plugged in, you know? And I can tell you this, though, there's a lot more work to be done, you know? I'm big on continuing to work the steps right now. It's the fourth month, and I've learned from my sponsor, we work a step a month. So we're on the fourth month, I'm working a four step again, and there's a lot of stuff on there, you know? But they don't dominate me like they used to. Thank God. But I'm one resentment left unchecked away from picking up that drink. I know that, you know. But if I stop coming around you guys, I'll forget like that. You know, I know that. So I'm grateful for all you being here tonight. I'm grateful that we have a solution, you know. I'm grateful for all the miracles. You know, if you're struggling with the conception of a power greater than yourself, look around the room, look at the evidence. You know, none of us are supposed to be here, you know. So that's enough out of me. Thank you.
Nate will be up here after the meeting. You guys can come up and thank him and stuff like that. One more hand for Nate.